Well, Genesis Energy is to resume importing coal to burn at Huntly Power Station. Genesis hasn't imported coal since mid-2022, but it says with gas supply falling faster than projected, it's currently the only affordable option to keep the country's lights on. Chief Executive Malcolm John says it's having to use its 500,000-tonne stockpile at the Huntly Station to counter a 30% fall in gas production and lower hydro lake inflows to ensure security of supply.
New Zealand ultimately has a high renewables grid anyway, but as we add more wind and solar into it, that energy is intermittent and it causes a yo-yoing effect on thermal. Primarily we've burnt gas up until this point, but as gas goes shorter in the market with the declining production levels in New Zealand, as we transition to a more renewables future, we're going to have to use more solid energy to bridge that gap. We believe going forward that the solid fuel level between biomass and coal that we need to maintain at Huntly is around 350,000 tonnes. By the end of this winter, we will have gone below that level, and so we will need to top the stockpile up ahead of next winter.
Now, the Resource Minister is Shane Jones, who joins us now. Kia ora, good morning, Minister.
Morning, greetings, folks.
I wonder if we just get a quick comment from you on the earlier interview before we get into the coal issue. Maramino Kapakingi's comments around extermination of Māori. Look, you've been a great user of rhetoric in the past. She claims it was a rhetorical device to express how Māori are feeling. Is that reasonable?
Words do matter, mate. Sadly, I think she's been influenced by Debbie Ngāre Wapaka. But look, Maria Mino is from the Taitokero. She's from a similar iwi background than me, but those are not words that I would use.
Are you comfortable with the changes to the removal of 7AA that will mean less Māori involvement in the removal potentially of children, the placement of children?
Yeah, I think the thing has become an ideological battleground, and I just fear that the well-being of young New Zealanders, irrespective of their ethnicity, whether they're Chinese, Pākehā, Māori, whatever they are, they run the risk of turning into puppets in an ideological battle about the treaty. And I've never understood as to why the principles of the treaty have loomed so large in determining where a warm, safe, reliable home could be found for little Rangi or Hene Moa.
Well, that's because there's been numerous reports from on Oranga Tamariki suggesting they haven't been serving Māori children very well.
Well, there's some hard truths that have got to be spoken here. I mean, a lot of the responsibility for the treatment meted out to our tamariki and our mokopuna has to be sheeted back to us as Māori ourselves. And this business that somehow we can continually blame the state for this ongoing wickedness which we're reading about on a regular basis in the newspaper, I don't subscribe to this notion that it's purely a state problem. The problem also lies within the deep dysfunctionalism that's too frequently found amongst a number of our own whānau. And sure, a number of those whānau can be rehabilitated and the tamariki and the kids should be taken and put in more secure homes. But surely the most important thing is a safe, loving, value-based family, irrespective of their whakapapa.
Okay, look, we may have to carry on that conversation at another time, I think. There's plenty more to talk about there. But we did get you on to talk about coal because there is an interesting development here. And that is that Genesis is going to start importing coal again. Can you or will you look at changing resource management laws so that Genesis could actually use local coal?
And you ask a great question because you know my whakatauki, my proverb is coal before dole. I'm told that it's easier to import Indonesian coal because of the investment required in redeveloping our own coal fields and the fact that as we continue the march towards clean green energy, it's only on an intermittent basis that coal will be needed, and therefore it's a more rational decision to bring the coal in. But just step back for a moment.
We haven't got that much time. I need an answer on that question, because the issue here is that we have the coal that could be burnt, but it is poorer quality, higher emitting, and there would need to be changes to the Resource Management Act in order to dig it up and use it. And I'm asking you, are you going to do that?
Yeah, but I've already been on your program and announced that we've changed the rules pertaining to coal. I announced that 3 weeks ago. That's not new news. The government has already said we are changing the RMA to overcome this green unicorn thinking that we can't use or create exports.
So do
coal.
You expect...
You should already know that.
Well, I do, but I want to know if are you expecting Genesis then to be able to get access to that poorer quality coal and start using it?
Well, we already have Bathurst and other companies in New Zealand that are in the coal business, and Genesis is capable of buying from who they like. The fact that we've had disruptiveness in the gas industry means we're now relying more on coal. How perverse from 2018-19, when Jacinda Ardern promised this new nirvana, now we're going to burn more coal.
Why do we want to focus on coal? What don't we need to be going to biomass, which is the end game for Genesis? This is wood pellets. You've got batteries. You've got the ability to increase wind and solar so that there's more water in the lakes. If we burn more coal, we are simply going to be putting more emissions into the atmosphere. We'll be paying for it with carbon credits, and we'll be paying for it with the environment.
Without a doubt, the investment should continue in solar and wind, and hopefully the gods of weather will give us more rain. But today in Alberta, in Canada, the lights don't stay on all the time because of intermittency. We need a contingency. We need a backup. Historically, it has been gas. There's gas under our feet. We can create more and more and greater supplies of gas, but it's going to need more investment. And until such time, our energy system, in order to keep the lights on and the hospitals functioning and the schools working, we're going to need hard energy, and that's going to come in the form of coal. It's not ideal, but I'll take that in a hot shower before this kind of unicorn thinking that we can rely incessantly on the vagaries of green energy at a time when not all of the technology is up to the task.
Are you saying that the batteries aren't up to the task, that we can't electrify industry, that we can't move to biomass? I mean, these are viable options.
They're viable, providing that investors can make money out of them and bring the energy to the market, Corin, at a level that the market can stand. Other than that, the market is going to continue. And I think Genesis should be on the honours list. Without them, there's no guarantee the lights will stay on.
Well, let me put this to you then. I mean, you're saying we need to extract more gas, and you have to attract multinational companies to come down here and do it. Is that viable? Are they coming? Do they want to come, even if you overturn the ban on offshore drilling? Because there's a huge risk here that a government may change and change the rules on them. You effectively have to step in and provide them with an insurance policy.
Well, we have a household name in the form of Todd. They were already in the gas industry. We have an Austrian company here called OMV who have not left us. And we have Methanex, a fantastic employer and a major producer of methanol on the back of natural gas. It's under the ground. We have it. All the government needs to do is work with those parties to ensure we give a set of regulations that incentivize them to go and extract.
What's that incentive going to be? What will they get? Will they get concessions on having to clean up after they've left? Will they get some form of a bond or insurance so that they know that they won't have the rug pulled out from them if another government comes in with a different view and says, no, we don't want this anymore?
Yeah, you ask a good question, mate. The first thing that's going to happen is going to change the law, and we're going to overcome that foolish ban of 4 or 5 years ago. So that's on the books. Secondly, we are going to revisit the burdensome nature of the decommissioning obligations and ensure that they're not a threat or they're not a bar to fresh investment. But we have the money in and around the industry. What the industry is looking for is confidence from not only the regulators, but the confidence that the market is there.
Okay.
We have a market in gas. Now, I'll say one thing. The generators must not use this uncertainty as an opportunity, Meridian and others, to gouge consumers.
Okay, but you're also saying, that in terms of cleaning up after you've finished drilling, you're going to make it less burdensome. You're going to say you don't have to clean up as much.
Very soon I'm going to have a paper going to Cabinet, and it's going to cover off not only dismissal of Jacinda Ardern's ban, but we're also going to revisit the mix of obligations that are on the investors, on the actual extractors of gas, so that it's not...
You're aware that it was Tamarind cost this country, $400 million with their drill, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, Tamarind, sadly, the name of a nice tree blighted permanently in New Zealand was between...
So why would you make it easier for an oil company to leave after they've done the drilling?
No, I'm not saying that it'll necessarily be easier, but just because you pass a law and you feel very fuzzy about it in Wellington, you need to be confident that it doesn't have a disincentivising or chilling effect on investment. That's how economics in the real world works.
Final question. How do you think our neighbours in the Pacific will feel about New Zealand restarting drilling for oil and gas offshore and the impact on the environment and the increased emissions from digging up more fossil fuels, which the UN says we don't need to do? How do you think those Pacific neighbours will feel about that?
Oh, I think that the Pacific realise that New Zealand, we are serious contributors to their welfare in the Pacific, and they know in order for us to generate an economic dividend in New Zealand, we need a reliable and we need an affordable level of energy.
Even the countries where the water, even where the water's lapping at their, you know, at their towns?
Yeah, you've got to stop this left-wing catastrophisation.
I'm not catastrophising. There's been views expressed from Pacific Islands of concern about New Zealand overturning this ban.
Yeah, but us keeping the lights on and the hospitals functioning, you can't hold that type of thinking responsible for the tide lapping around Tuvalu. Come on, give us a break.
Shane Jones, thank you very much for your time. That is the Resource Minister.